This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Alhamdulillah, we have in the previous lesson we finished the hijrah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just want to point out a couple of things regarding the hijrah. The first thing is that the hijrah, everything in the hijrah pinned upon Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The entire organization from the beginning to the end was pinned upon Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, to organizing the mounts, to the food, to having the tracker. It was himself, it was his daughter, his son, his freed slaves. Everything depended upon Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So the greatness, we know the greatness of al-Hijrah. All of it depended on Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The other thing is regarding Hijrah and the importance of Hijrah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum left their homes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for us who live in the West as a minority, can you imagine a day, if the day ever came that you would have to leave your homes to go and live somewhere else where you were born, where you grew up, which was really the only kind of culture that you really knew? This is what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did. This is the sacrifice that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum undertook for the sake of the deen. And this is why, this is the virtue of Hijrah. So anybody, even until today, maybe the Syrians, the Rohingya, whoever, the Palestinians, whoever it may be, when they leave their homes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are fulfilling the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they reach Quba. So when they reach Quba, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba would come out every single day, the Ansar every single day, waiting for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the sun would go up and it would be unbearable for them to remain, then they would go back to their homes. The first person who noticed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come was a Jew. So he shouted, he informed the Muslims that the individual that you are waiting for has come. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum came, they welcomed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a place called Quba. Initially, actually, they weren't even sure which one was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until they saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu begin to shade the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they realized that this is Abu Bakr and this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he stayed initially for a number of days in a place called Quba. Now Quba is just on the outskirts of what we know as mainstream Medina. Now it's a part of Medina, but at that time it was just on the outskirts of Medina. What did the first thing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He stayed approximately 2 weeks in Quba. What did he do? Subhanallah. The first thing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do when he reached Quba was build a masjid. Why? Because the masjid is the hub of any community. Those communities who move to a certain place, and you even see it today, when they move to a certain place, that the first thing that they do is create a masjid. One of the first things that they do is create a masjid when there's a community. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The virtue of the Masjid al-Quba is what? The virtue of Masjid al-Quba is that Allah mentions it in His Quran. He says, "La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwali yawmin," that masjid whose foundations were created from the first day upon taqwa. From the first day that it was created upon taqwa. أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ. It is more befitting that you stand in it. How did the Prophet ﷺ create Masjid al-Quba? The Prophet ﷺ, what he did, he took a brick and he laid a foundation. The second person to lay that foundation was no other than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The third person to lay a brick was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. So this shows, you know, often you see that people, when they build a masjid, they get a pious person and he places the first brick. This comes from the sunnah of Masjid Quba, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "La masjid ussisa ala taqwa." This was a masjid where the foundations were placed upon taqwa. Who placed the foundations? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum. After staying there approximately 2 weeks, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now moves to central Medina. What's the first thing that the Messenger of Allah does when he moves to central Medina? He builds another masjid. The Sahaba, before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built a masjid in central Medina, Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would pray in a stable. It was a place where they would keep the, it's open field, but the goats, etc. would be kept there. This is where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would pray. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a piece of land and he asked them who this land belongs to. And they said they belong to two yatims. And they said, "O Messenger of Allah, we will give it to you." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, we don't want it, we will pay for it. We will pay for it." Now, the Ansar, obviously they were known for their generosity. Such was their generosity, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum say that we have never ever seen a group of people who were more generous than the Ansar. You have the very famous narration of Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made brotherhood between an Ansari and a Muhajir. He said, "I will split my entire business in half and I will give you half my business. Not only that, I have two wives. You choose which of the two that you want." Look at subhanallah. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu declined the offer and he said, "Jazakumullah khayran, show me where the marketplace is." So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum say that we had never seen a group of people who are more generous than the Ansar. They were ready to give us everything that they had. And they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they, in a manner, they complained. What was the complaint that they had? They said, "O Messenger of Allah, even their complaints," the Sahaba's complaints were, "even their complaints were dini, they weren't dunyawi." Now, upon another occasion, a group of Sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, "O Messenger of Allah, you know the rich Sahaba, they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they spend and they spend, and we don't have the same means as they have. So we fear that they will take all the reward." Now, these are a group of poor Sahaba. They don't come to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about their poverty. They complain about the fact that they will be left behind in rewards. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to this group of Sahaba, "If after every salah you read 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar, you will get the same reward as those who give in the path of Allah." So they go and they start doing this. After it a while, the rich Sahaba find this out. So not only are they spending in the path of Allah, they're also doing the tasbih. So the Sahaba come again and they complain to the Messenger of Allah. They say, "O Messenger of Allah, you know, they've started doing it as well and they're giving in the path of Allah." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Dhalika fadlullah yutihi man yasha." That's the grace of Allah. Allah gives some people more riches, Allah gives some people less riches. So these Sahaba, they come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they complain. They say, "O Messenger of Allah, the Ansar spend so much upon us that we fear that they will take all their rewards and we will be left with nothing." Listen, subhanAllah, listen the beauty, the beautiful response of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Make dua for them, you will get the same reward." Look how powerful dua is. Make dua for them and you will receive the same reward. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insists that they will pay for the masjid. He says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, "Abu Bakr, go and give them 10 dinars for the place." They give him 10 dinar for the land. Now imagine this, la ilaha illallah. So they get the land and they build Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how many people just today have prayed in the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just today, imagine the millions who have prayed over the year. Imagine the multi-millions, the greatest scholars who have ever walked on the face of this earth, from every corner of this world for 1400 years have prayed in Masjid Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every single reward goes to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. You know, that's what you call investing in your akhirah. That's what you call doing a business transaction which will be of benefit. See, when you do business, there's no guarantee that you're going to have profits, isn't it? You could lose out. The only time you are guaranteed that you will get profits is when you do business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, hal adullukum ala tijaratin, tunjikum min adhabin aleem. Oh, you believe, shall I not indicate towards a business? Your life is a business. Your life is a business. What you sow in this dunya, remember, is what you will reap in the hereafter. This moment, every moment that you spend in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see the benefits of that in the hereafter. Can you imagine, subhanAllah, every single day, how much rewards Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gets for spending those 10 dinars? 10 dinars, now that's what you call an investment. What also happened was that when they reached Medina, some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum became very ill because the environment didn't suit them. To the degree that Abu Bakr and Bilal radiallahu anhum actually felt that they were going to die. That's how unwell they became. Aisha radiallahu anha felt unwell as well, to the degree that her hair started falling out. So Aisha radiallahu anha went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and she told him about the plight of the Sahaba, and then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a dua, a special dua for Medina. He said, Allahumma habib ilayna Medina kahubbina Makkah u ashad. He said, Allah, make our love for Medina like our love for Makkah. Now, what was the love of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum for Makkah? If you remember, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left Makkah, what did he say? He said, Oh Makkah, you are the most beloved place to me on the face of this earth. And if it was not for the fact that your people had driven me out, I would never leave you. So this is how much the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made. What does he say? He says, Oh Allah, give us the love for Medina, kahubbina Makkah u ashad. Like our love for Makkah, or even more than our love for Makkah. Imam Suyuti rahimahullah says that Allah accepted this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why, even after the conquest of Makkah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back to Medina. The vast majority of Sahaba radiallahu anhum came back to Medina because the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was accepted. Now remember this. This does not mean that Medina is more virtuous than Makkah. The haram of Makkah, the salah in the haram, is obviously far greater reward. But this is to do with love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled the love of Medina into the hearts of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, to the degree that it mentioned when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come back from a journey, he would see Medina, he would start riding his mount quicker, and the narration mentioned, إِذَا رَعَى مَدِينَ مِنْ حُبِّهَا. When he would see Medina, because of his love for Medina, he would start riding his mount quicker. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this love for Medina in the hearts of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Now, they get better. The dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is accepted. You know, Allah, the Messenger of Allah made a dua that Allah moved this illness to a place called Juhafa, and the illness was removed to a place called Juhafa, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum became better. Now, as soon as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gets better, he requests the Messenger of Allah. He said, the Messenger of Allah, the nikah with my daughter Aisha radiallahu anha has been performed, now take her into your wedlock. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I can't do that. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, why? He said, because the dowry which was stipulated was 500 dirhams and I don't have any money. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I will pay the dowry. Subhanallah. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu pays for the dowry of his own daughter. This is why Abu Bakr is special. His every step is special. Wallahi. His every breath is special. He pays the dowry of his daughter. If it was anybody else, they'd say, what? You can't fulfill the dowry of my daughter? Abu Bakr says, no, no. O Messenger of Allah, what good is my wealth if it's not spent for you? What good is my wealth if it's not spent upon you? So he pays the dowry. Aisha radiallahu anha herself narrates, she says, my wedding was simple. What wedding was this? Let me tell you. This is the wedding of the most beloved wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Messenger of Allah was asked, who is the most beloved person to you? He said, Aisha. When he was asked out of the men, he said, her father. She says, my wedding was simple. That wedding which was commanded by Allah. Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon occasion, he said, O Messenger of Allah, did you marry me out of your own will or were you commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, I was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says, it was so simple that I was playing with my friends. Outside playing with my friends. And my mother called me. She says, I went to my mother. My mother began to comb my hair. Then some women from the Ansar came. When these women from the Ansar came, La ilaha illallah. She says, shortly after this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. And I went with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She says, no camels were slaughtered on my wedding. A wedding which lives on 1400 years. No camels were slaughtered. No major limousines, no big halls, no wedding gowns, no lengas, nothing. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that wedding which has the greatest barakah is that which is the simplest. And no wedding, wallahi, in humanity had a greater barakah than the wedding of Aisha with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now I want to move on to the next topic, which is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's participation with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the battles. The first battle, or the first major battle, was the battle of Badr. You could say the greatest battle which ever took place in the history of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who are the best of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who participated in the battle of Badr. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, similarly, those angels who are the greatest from the angels are those who participated in the Battle of Badr. Let me give you a brief background to the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr took place because the Muslims, they were driven out of their homes. They had to leave everything behind. They took nothing with them, all their wealth, all their homes, everything that they had, they lost. Now, the people of Quraysh, every year they would go on two trade caravans at least. One would go north and one would go south to Yemen, and one would go to Sham. The one that would go to Sham, they had to pass Medina. The Muslims were in Medina. So when Abu Sufyan took his trade caravan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam endeavored to intercept it, but Abu Sufyan managed to outmaneuver the Muslims. So on its return, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that Abu Sufyan is now coming back with his trade caravan, and it was manned by 40 people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now made this announcement with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Medina, whoever can get ready, quickly get ready. There was no intention to fight, remember this. The intention was only to intercept a caravan which was only manned by 40 people. So whoever could quickly get ready, they quickly got ready. You know, they had a couple of swords, not many swords. Most of them had sticks, etc. They had two horses. And they went to intercept this caravan. Now, Abu Sufyan realized that this is the intention of the Muslims. So he sent a message to the mushrikeen in Mecca. They prepared an army. Meanwhile, Abu Sufyan managed to outmaneuver the Muslims. And then he sent another message to the people of Mecca. Look, well, I've managed to outmaneuver them. There's no need for you to send an army. But they had already prepared an army. So Abu Jahl, being Abu Jahl, said, no. We will go and we will travel to Badr. And in Badr, we will stay for 3 days. And Badr was known for two main things. It had a well and it was also a marketplace which was held there. He said, we will go there. And we will wine, dine, and our women will dance, and people will know after this that do not mess with Quraysh, because they are a power. So that was Abu Sufyan. Sorry, that was Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was. So this is what happened. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now had a predicament. They had already left. They hadn't prepared for a battle. There's approximately 300 to 313 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So what do they do? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now wants to gauge the atmosphere amongst the Sahaba. He wants to know if they're ready. You know, this is the first battle. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now asked them, are you ready to fight? The first person to stand up, and I'm going to keep on repeating this word, kana sabaqan Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. First person, he said, Messenger of Allah, we are ready to fight. Kana sabaqan. He said, we are ready to fight. The first person to stand up. When they had decided that they are going to fight, the Ansar and the Muhajirun, they all agreed. They say, who is going to, they made this kind of a shade for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kind of a small tentish thing for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said, who is now going to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now, this was the most difficult duty. You know, the responsibility of guarding the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anything goes wrong, it's on your shoulders. Say, people hesitated. The first person to jump up was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. You know, Ali was known as a warrior. And inshallah, when we do the life of Ali radiallahu anhu, you will see this. Ali was known as a warrior. One day in his time as the Khalif, he asked, who was the bravest out of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu? So you know how normally the guys who are around you, they say, oh, you Amir al-Mu'mineen, nobody compares with you, you're the man. He said, no. He said, the bravest out of the Sahaba was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. On the day of Badr, nobody wanted to take the responsibility of looking after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The man who stood up, the man who was so thin that his trousers would not remain around his waist. The man who was so thin that his cheekbones had protruding, that his eyes had sunk in. That was the man who stood up. And he said, I will protect the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to Ali radiallahu anhu, the bravest out of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu was no other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. As the Sahaba say, Abu Bakr was the weakest in body, but the strongest in iman, the bravest from amongst them. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he retreats to this tent, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he begins to make a dua. And he says, oh Allah, fulfill your promise to us. Oh Allah, fulfill your promise to us. Meaning, oh Allah, you know, you promised us victory, now fulfill that promise to us. And then the Prophet ﷺ began to cry, began to weep. And he said, oh Allah, if this small group die today, there will be nobody on the face of this earth to worship you. And he cried and he cried and he wept and he wept. He had a shawl over his, a sheet over his shoulders. The sheet fell down. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and he placed the sheet back over his shoulders. And then he grabbed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he began to console him. And he said, Allah will fulfill the promise. Allah will fulfill the promise. And Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki, rahimahullah, the famous Spanish scholar says, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a state of khawf, fear. Because he feared that if this group of people died, then there would be nobody to worship. There would be nobody to protect the deen. He said, Abu Bakr, although he was never greater or afdal than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in a state of hope. And for iman, you need fear and hope. He said, because he believed that as long as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was amongst them, Allah would never forsake them. So al-iman bayn al-khawf wa raja is between fear and hope. And then the narrations mention that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became unconscious. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became unconscious and he gained consciousness, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up and he recited the verse sayuhzamu al-jam'u wa yuwalluna ad-dubr. He says the great army will be defeated and they will take a flight, they will turn on their heels, reciting a verse of the Quran. And then he turned to Abu Bakr, he said, Abu Bakr, rejoice. For I see Jibra'il with the reins in his hands and the horse's teeth are full of dust. Meaning that the horse is running with so much vigor, the horse of Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam, that the teeth have all become full of dust. La ilaha illallah. So you have three initial, you have the first three in initial duels, which the Muslims win, and one out of the Muslim passes away, but all three the Muslims win. And then Abu Bakr's son Abdul Rahman, who is not a Muslim, who is on the side of the disbelievers, Abu Bakr's on this side and he's on the side of the disbelievers, he stands up to duel. Who is the first person who jumps up to duel his own Abdul Rahman? No other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stands to duel him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pulls him down. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr, let us benefit from your existence. Let us benefit from your existence. And this is a very interesting qa'ida here, very interesting asool and principle here, that sometimes one's own benefit, so one's own benefit will be pushed aside for the benefit of the wider community. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wanted shahada. We know the virtue of shahada. But the Prophet ﷺ said, no. You Abu Bakr, your benefit, we need your benefit. Your existence is beneficial for us. Then we have the battle. The battle takes place. 70 mushrikun are killed. Polytheists are killed. And 70 are taken as prisoners. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does mashwara with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. What shall we do? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gives his mashwara. He says, O Messenger of Allah, what we should do is that these are our family members. At the end of the day, they are our family members. Let's take ransom. Firstly, it will make us financially stronger. And secondly, maybe one day these people will come on iman. So this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mashwara. Umar comes, Umar being Umar, Umar radiallahu anhu says, O Messenger of Allah, no, I disagree with Abu Bakr. What we need to do is that we need to kill them. Not only just kill them, a family member kills his family member. So they realize that there is no kinship amongst us anymore, no family members. Then one of the Ansari gives his opinion, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. He said, Messenger of Allah, I think the best thing is just to take him to a place, a pit, and just burn them all. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now listens to the mashwara of all of them, and he says, we take the mashwara of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And this was the mashwara of the vast majority of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, Abu Bakr, your example is like Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, who said, فَمَنْ تَبِئَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ أَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. He said, follows me, he is from me. And whoever disobeys, O Allah, you are غَفُورُ Rahim. You know, you are merciful. You see, you know, you are merciful. And then he said, your example is, Abu Bakr, is also the example of Isa alayhi salatu salam. What was this? Isa alayhi salatu salam said, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ إِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He said, oh Allah, if you punish them, then they are your servants. And if you forgive them, then you are Aziz, still powerful, Hakim, you are wise. You know, your power stays the same. And then he says to Umar, hey Umar, you are like Nuh alayhi salatu salam. Now this is really interesting. I'll tell you why it's interesting. Look, even the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam had different characteristics. Ajib. Some Anbiya were soft, some Anbiya were harsh. Some were firm, some were, you know, comparatively softer. So he says to Umar, you are like Nuh, who said, Rabbi la tadhar ala al-ardi min al-kafirina dayyara. Wallah, don't leave a house from the kafirin. You know, wipe them totally out. Don't leave them at all. Or you are like Musa, who said, Rabba natmis ala amwalihim washdud ala qulubim fala yu'minu. Oh Allah, destroy their wealth and make their hearts so harsh fala yu'minu, that they don't even believe until they see the tormenting punishment. So he gives a comparison of the Anbiya alayhi salatu, Umar, you are harsh, Abu Bakr, you are, you know, soft comparatively. What happened a little while later is that Umar radiallahu anhu comes and he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu crying. So he asked him, why are you crying for? Tell me why you are crying for so I can cry with you. And if I can't cry, at least I will pretend I'm crying because you people are crying. I want to cry. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Umar, Allah loved your mashwara more than he loved us. Allah loved your mashwara more than ours, and Allah revealed verses regarding your mashwara, and Allah was about to send adhab upon us. What was the hikmah of the mashwara of Umar ibn Khattab and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Inshallah, Allah willing, I will deal with that in the life of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. You know, many, many, many years later, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's son Abdurrahman became a Muslim, and we will speak about him later inshallah. He said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, oh my father, I saw you in the battlefield and I had the opportunity to kill you, but because you were my father, I did not kill you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, oh my son, let it be known, if I had ever seen you in the battlefield and you were fighting the Muslims, I would have killed you. Why? Before Abu Bakr, there was only one relationship, and that was Allah and His Rasul. That was Allah and His Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam. Raqmullah khayran, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu on our behalf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his life a source of inspiration for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Zakumullah khayran for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.